bear testament that God's done for you. This is a test. There we go.
I was watching a story, the Christmas story, and something that came out that I've always heard, that it hit me in a different way, was that there were women weeping after Jesus was born because their little boys had been killed. And previous to watching this, I had just kind of been in thought about Preston and him having autism and how he was born early and how when he was diagnosed, they told us that he was going to have autism. It wasn't because he was born early. And just thinking about how there are lots of children on the spectrum that don't have, that can't speak. And thinking about, well, Preston started getting intervention at 4 months old. And had he not been born early, maybe he wouldn't be verbal. So it just kind of led me down the path of thinking about mercy and what God has protected us from, although it may have been painful, but how he is working in our life and how these painful moments are benefiting the kingdom. So just kind of reflecting on hard seasons and the knowledge that God has provisioned through those.
Amen, amen. Thanks for that, Tamara. Who's next? I know that last week, anybody who wasn't able to make the sermon discussion, I don't think it really counts as a sermon discussion itself, but we were just kind of sitting around talking, as Fairhavenites have been known to do. And I don't know, I was just encouraged that there was so much conversation about there being a hunger to be able to recognize the actual reason that we celebrate Christmas and not have it be the stuff that so easily distracts during this time. Family tension with people you don't have to deal with through the rest of the year, or, you know, gift giving or anxiety over whether the gifts are going to send the appropriate message as far as how much you care about a person. Like, there's all these things that have become synonymous with this season that I was encouraged that there was some frustration around the table that these things are distracting from the glory of our King, and that's a good kind of hunger. So I don't know if that's I don't really think we could give anybody else credit for that but the Holy Spirit. But I feel like to those who knock, the door will be opened. Those who hunger, or to those who hunger and thirst, they'll be filled. Like, there's the hunger comes first. And I know for myself, the biggest periods of growth for me that I've ever experienced have been after asking to be made hungry. And that's a difficult thing, especially knowing that God doesn't really pull any punches. But I think it's a very healthy and a very honest place when you can come to God and say, I don't love you enough. Can you help me with that? I don't hunger for your truth or for your word enough. Can you help me with that? And expecting him to answer. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, when I retired, one of the things I thought about is that I wanted to learn more about how to help other people find not only a relationship with Jesus, but a growing relationship. And so it's making disciples, basically. So when I was at Indiana-Michigan Conference, a woman named Carla Minter, I think she maybe spoke here once years ago, but she came up to me while I was going to different booths, and she said to me, we're doing this thing called a discipleship initiative, and I'm just wondering if you would be interested in being part of this, because what it is not only helping to other people to become disciples, but then for them to make disciples as well. And so I kind of thought, this sounds really interesting, but I just kind of let it rest. And then she called me this fall. And so I'm now participating in this group, and we have a group of five women who are meeting together and growing. And as Caitlin said in one of our meetings, if you lead something like this, you grow more than probably anyone in the group. So one of the things that's been really helpful to me is we've talked about Kairos moments when God breaks through to us, and really looking for those moments. And often that's kind of like you think of it in a straight line. Here I'm living, and God breaks through to me, and I recognize that, but I just keep going. And they suggest that when you see God break through, you take the time to reflect on that and talk to people about it. What did that mean? And then move on around to what am I going to do about that? And action. So I've been looking for Kairos moments in my life. Where is God breaking through? And just, it's not always in the moments of peace. Sometimes it's when there's more chaos. And I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful for this group of five. I'm thankful for the group here at Fairhaven. And one thing that they said is that often, if like the early church had this language of what's God doing in our lives, and they would get together and eat together and talk about it, and that's kind of, it doesn't need to be some big, well-thought-out theological discussion always. It can just be where we see God working and then supporting each other in that. So, didn't mean to take too long, but that's exciting.
Anything but. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, babe. Did we have a fourth song picked out, or were you opening that up? Yeah. Anybody else?
This year has been really rough, and I just want to thank God for moving on my heart the way that He has. Having five teenagers can be, woo! things are starting to settle down now. I feel a lot more normal as the year has, you know, come to an end. So I'm just really thankful that God has moved me to join the ladies group and grow. I feel like the growth has been tremendous this end of the year, and helping young people at work, not knowing that that was ever going to be a thing. They come and drop, oh, this is the good thing, this is a testimony for me, and you know, the struggles that they go through, and then the next week they're totally different just from talking and unloading on me. So I just want to thank God for really touching me this year.
Kind of piggybacking on what Rachel said, I have noticed that God is very deliberate to put me in positions to give advice to people that I need to be following myself. So yeah, leading a group, you're usually the one who grows the most, that kind of deal. Anybody else? All right, let's all stand together again. We'll continue in our worship. It is very humbling trying to take up the responsibility as a father to bring my kids along behind us in the Lord, my wife and I. and the weight of that responsibility. But I can say hearing my kids sing worship songs is, even though I know that they don't get the full gravity of why that's important or who they're singing to, the fact that they recognize that and they can get some joy in that, and I know God gets joy out of it, that's a major encouragement to me. Is that a hand? Maybe?
I was going to say, Sophia moved bed. But she doesn't do it.
That's all right.
She's not always, she's like, there is to be a hand now.
That's all right. I think there are worse things to be obsessed over for a kid, definitely. Anybody else? Somebody who hasn't mentioned anything before?
It reminds me of a case of children. A case of children singing. In Puerto Rico, a favorite song or chorus in church was "No hay Dios tan grande como tú." There's no God as great as you. And one of the mothers said her daughter came home and was out singing in the street. There's no God. There's no God. There's no God.
What were the lyrics supposed to be?
Okay.
There's no God as great as you. She was out in the street just singing, "There is no God, there is no God." Yeah, that's incredible. Anyone else? Any of our newest converts perhaps show what the Lord has been doing in their lives? Things that you've learned about the Lord and how great He is and how much He loves you. Anybody?
I can say that I'm really thankful for Fairhaven.
I'm thankful for Fairhaven, and I just, on Sunday mornings, there's just a softening of my heart when I come here. I've just been struggling, but when I come here, I know I'm loved, and the vulnerability and the way people step up and share means a lot to me.
Thanks for that, John.
I'm going to piggyback off of Jennifer. Probably some 25 plus years ago, I started coming here. And some of you know, in 89, I was almost killed. But I'm so thankful for this place. You know, when I first started coming, I was backsliding. I'd come 2 weeks and wouldn't come back again for a month, then come back 2 weeks. And what I always enjoyed when I came back, somebody recognized me. And that's what I love about this place. And I think it helped save my life. So.
Amen, amen.
I actually had a conversation with my mother yesterday about some of the things that she's struggling with trying to find a church. Now, they left a church that they had been going to for 30-some years, and so trying to find a new place and a home that they love and can put roots down. And sometimes finding a church is that way. Like, we're putting down roots, and it's part of our home. It's part of our traditions. And I have to say that, as most of you know, I was very reluctant to come to Fairhaven, and I was dragged here kicking and screaming by Christopher. And then as soon as I got in the doors, Rachel and Jennifer tag-teamed me, and I was pregnant at the time and couldn't fight back. But I was trying to describe to my mom how much Fairhaven has taught us. And I know that there are seasons of Fairhaven that Christopher and I are unfamiliar with. And not too long after we started coming here, we no longer had a head pastor and we started to do it this way. And Christopher and I have talked a lot of times when we're leaving church and in having this conversation with my mom, trying to explain to her that this season of Fairhaven has been so incredible to us to learn that church isn't where we're fed. Community is where we're fed. And our relationship with Jesus Christ has come through the community for the first time in my life. I don't know about Christopher, but Jesus Christ showing himself to us through the church has come through the community of church and through spending time in your homes and texting and group messages and holding each other when we cry versus being in the building just on Sunday morning. And it's such a beautiful picture of what is probably pretty close to what the Old Testament church was. And it's just an incredible, incredible, valuable time of life. And no matter what the future holds for Fairhaven, this time has meant the world to Christopher and me in learning how a church should function and the relationships in the community they're in. And you guys have all shown Jesus to us in ways that we would never have expected.
Thanks, Lo.
I would just like to kind of piggyback on what Enola said. We've been going to Fairhaven for over 30 years, or going on close to 30. And I talk to some of my friends, see some of the posts that Fairhaven does or some posts that I do, and they know that we go to a really small church. But the beautiful thing about this congregation is, it's like Enola said, we don't have a head pastor that we have to listen to or that we listen to every week. Not that we have to, but that came out wrong, sorry. but it's everybody is, we're using the resources that God has given us. We're using the talents that God has given us. And what other church can you go to where you have a different speaker every week? We have different musicians every week. We have volunteers that are doing various things throughout, you know, to make church work for us in this environment. Like Kevin said, you know, well, I keep thinking about a thing that Mr. Russell, the late Mr. Russell, said all the time is that Fairhaven has been through so many different seasons. There's been so many people that have come through these doors. But those that even left, when we run into them out in the streets or various locations, they always remember Fairhaven. They always will remember the feeling that coming through these doors has given them. So that just is a testament in itself about how caring this congregation is. Because we come in, you know, we go through good seasons, we go through bad seasons, and that's just life. I love the fact that everybody in this congregation is open to share. We all go through various struggles. I know there's some of us are going through health issues, we're going through financial issues, we're going through career decisions, we're going through having to raise a family. I mean, there's all these things that life brings, but I know when we walk through this door, we know that everybody has our back. And that's the main thing that makes me very appreciative of what we have here.
Amen, amen. Anybody else?
Yeah. Not quite a year ago, we were packing up and leaving the familiar to come to totally unfamiliar territories. And almost every Sunday, the church back there prayed, please guide this couple to a church where they won't just be another old couple sitting in the back huddled over that nobody knows. and we just really feel like the Lord has answered that, and we're so thankful for the way you have taken us in and are nurturing us and molding us. And one of the things that has really made me thankful for this church is this type of thing where the little ones belong to everybody, where you have aunts and uncles and everybody, they belong to us all. And they feel safe with us. And to me, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is among us, that we're just thankful.
That wasn't a hand raising or anything? I'm just checking. I just want to make sure. I didn't want you to leave yet. All right. Well, then, let's pray one more time, and I'll have Tamara come up and lead us in the last song. Lord, we worship you for who you are. We are so grateful that you have led us here this day for all of these different seasons of our lives that you have, in your providence, you've brought us together. And for all of the differences between us, all the different ideas and personalities and hopes and perspectives, we are grateful that you chose all of us to build your church. We can never thank you enough for that. So please let our worship be pleasing to you. Let us be a blessing to you, even a fraction of the way that you've been a blessing to us. Now and forever. And please continue to create the kind of environment among us that you know will help nurture and guide other Christians who need the help, who need the healing, who need the love, and people who don't know you yet, who need to see what it's like when people get a whole lot wrong and you create unity in the midst of us in spite of our shortcomings. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Amen.